Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 644. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I've been thinking about this for about 45 minutes now, guys. Did they get Donald's best side?
Maybe.
He's kind of like in like the pouty child pose. It's like,
what? I mean, that was I would be me. I think to him, it exudes like confidence. It's like, see, they didn't break me. I'm not angry. But I'm like, it comes off really pouty. And yeah. I think part of it is because I imagine he has spent the past week and a half like practicing this in his mirror to get it right. And I think the thing is, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like a mirror is kind of straight on as forward, right? This mugshot kind of looks like it's taken from like the top down.
Yeah, they're up. They're above you.
Yeah. So it's like an angled. So it's like he's doing that thing, but like you have to look up. And I think it's that in the lighting, because like part of his basic, well, one, I think he has that weird, his face is just many, many colors. And like, I think it makes the left side look angrier than it intends to be. I don't know. Every time I see it, I think he has like his eyes swollen. But
he looks like he's been crying. Like his eyes are all like red and puffy.
Yes, and like, I don't know if that's the lighting or not. But yeah, that was my thought. It's like, oh, it's very funny because I was watching the news, as one does, and like this came out, and like, you know, it's a mugshot. Yes, so, but like they had to spend like time breaking it down, and of course, like they say, it's like a Rorschach tank test. It's like, you know, people on the right is like, this is gonna show he's so tough and defiant. And people on the left is like, he looks like angry, looks like he's been, you know, crying or whatever. He looks like he's on the verge of a breakdown. And, you know, it's probably somewhere in the middle. But knowing him, I assume he spent time practicing in the mirror to get this.
Absolutely.
This cold, defiant look down. And I feel like it's one of those things, you know, like, my siblings do this. I don't. But, like, you know, people post online all the time. They take dozens of selfies or pictures before they find the one that they want to buy. You get one.
He should have aimed for like duck lips, like a sorority girl. Like he should have done something like that. Would have been better.
So, like, but everybody else that's been arrested is like smiling, which is like a weird go as well. But
some of them have been smiling. It's been really funny to kind of watch it come out, because I think the first set, it's like they hadn't adjusted the camera, so it's like really washed out.
Yeah,
it's like this bright white. And then yesterday, where people were like, "Oh, we're gonna be like we're smiling and happy," and then this one came out, and it's like, "Okay, this guy is just like again." It's like it's very much his MO, where it's like he's trying to exude tough guy, and that's just not how it comes off.
Yeah, not at all. But Earl is here as well.
Yes, and you know, I got nothing to say, honestly. It's been very fascinating, I think, just watching the last, years unravel. But like I said, I was watching the news today, and I turned on MSNBC, and like the indictment of Donald Trump, and my first thought was like, which one? You can't use duh. Because that infers that there's a singular definitive, like, it's an indictment of Donald Trump. Like, this is the fourth one. Literally, it's the fourth one we've had to do this song and dance for. It's the first one that he's gotten a mugshot for. But I'm like, we already did this last once, I think.
Well, it's kind of weird. Like, the other ones are like, we don't need a mugshot of this guy. We all know what he looks like. And George is like, no. We'll treat him like everybody else.
Yeah.
Line up. Although he also reported his weight as 215 pounds.
And 6'3"? Yeah,
that man is not 215
There is
pounds.
No way. Like, I am not a small person. I do not have his shape. And I am way more than 215 pounds. So
I am 5'8". I lift. I'm in pretty good shape. I weigh 200 pounds. That man is 7 inches taller than me, and like fat.
Yeah,
there is no way in hell.
Well, I was gonna say there's no way to heck that he's 6'3". Again, you've seen him with people. I mean, I get it. I understand why. It's just one of those things where it's like I understand. I don't understand, but I can see why you wouldn't necessarily measure everybody. It's just weird that you kind of take people at face value, because you can go in and say whatever. I guess the idea is like there's a picture, and you know, as long as you could, you're identifiable. And like, I mean, to the other place's credit, I guess it's not like he's gonna be somebody you won't recognize on the street. He is
maybe he's just super squishy. Like maybe that's all like fluff. He's like a marshmallow man.
I mean, I would believe if he put the stats of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man more than his, because people compared him to like several pro athletes, and it's like pro athletes are built differently, sure, but like to say like, okay, this person's 6'3" and 215 pounds, and compare that to other people of that stature and be like, this guy is not 6'3", 215 pounds, so.
You're like, okay, that 6'3", like, okay, Steph Curry. That man is not Steph Curry size. He way fatter.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nuts.
I also like the guys who were trying to get the case like transferred to federal court so it would get dismissed, and they're like, nah.
Oh, my like, favorite was, oh, go on.
Oh, like Meadows. Who I'm pretty sure worked a deal for the January 6th stuff in D.C.
Which is probably why he wanted it transferred.
Why he wanted it transferred. He's like, I didn't make a deal on this particular one. And they're like, yeah, and you're going to stay here for a little while.
But the reality is he can flip. Like, he'll probably still end up with some sort of sentence, but it'll be minimal. But he can flip and rat these motherfuckers out if he wants.
Well, that's kind of it. Like, if he doesn't do that, he's the top of the food chain. Like, he's the one who was in charge of organizing everything. Yeah. So he's the one that everybody else is pointing to if he doesn't point up. So
yeah. I was gonna say it's because there was one of the dudes who's like, he wants a speedy trial, thinking like, oh, you know, I get this, George has some speed. So they're like, yeah, we're gonna grant that to you. So it's like, oh, your trial's like October 26th now or something like that. So it's like he gets arraigned in the start of September. Discovery goes until September 20th. The jury verdict's like, jury selection's like October 6th. And it's like, yeah. So like, it's also going to be fascinating to see because I guess, you know, as things come out, Georgia's court cases are televised and it's going to be a RICO case. So you're going to have to, you'll see a lot of that evidence that they will present for him. That's going to be very similar to the evidence that you'll present for Trump and everybody else. And starting to see it, especially if he gets a guilty verdict, or maybe he understands which way the wind is blowing and he starts writing people out. But you'll start to see a lot of I think when people realize like how screwed they may or may not be, you'll see a lot more people who are more forthcoming with like details about stuff.
Those unindicted co-conspirators start flipping.
And it looks like what the Fulton County DA is pushing for, like an October start to all this. Yeah. Like, that is very quick.
Well, again, that was part of it. Was like, dude asking for a speedy trial, and they granted it to him. And now I do think it's aggressive. She's like, she's trying to do all 19 at once. Again, I'm not an attorney. I think that can get messy.
Yeah. No, it'll probably get delayed, but it's like, okay, you don't want it to happen during like the primaries and the election, okay? Well, it's not, since this was a case about election interference, we can't allow it to the election to proceed without it being resolved. So either it happens like that, or it literally happens during the primaries and interferes with the electoral process. Right. Trump can't have it both ways.
He's trying. He is. And it is very fascinating to watch, because I think, you know, I think for so long he's been accustomed to just being able to strong arm his way out of stuff that did, like, I mean, you have his, you know, his fans and the GOP and whatever, and even people running against him who are cheering him on. But it is fascinating to watch like him just not have a coherent defense, because I don't even know if we talked about this last week. Again, it's a video game podcast, but like, it came out when this was announced last Monday or whatever it was, that he was like, he had this big press conference he was going to show on on Monday this week, where he's like, he's, you know, he has definitive proof that the election was rigged and he's going to share it with the world. And at some point, it seems, for his betterment, it seems like his counsel was able to tell him, like, dude, no, this is a terrible idea. Shut up and don't do this. So now, like, you know, like one of his, like, you know, like one of his big zone points was like, he doesn't get to control the media as much. I mean, part of his bill order in this case, and I think, I mean, most of them, but this
one,
the
DC one as well.
And the DC one in particular is like, he has a gag order in terms of talking about the case, talking, you know, anything that could do with witness intimidation or, you know, poisoning the jury selection pool and stuff like that. So there's stuff he can say, but he's not allowed to just like spout off his not his usual word garbage. And that's going to be fascinating to see how that unfolds for him. Because, I mean, calling a spade, I think we all kind of are under the assumption that he will break that sooner than later.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to see like what actually happens when that does occur.
Well, he already did it, right? All this was in, a lot of this was in response to a post that he made, which was like something like, if you come after me, I'm coming after you. And that was all it said. And it was like, it was so ambiguous that they couldn't point to one particular person who was intimidated, but it could generally be applied to intimidating anyone.
Yes. And I think that, I mean, again, that would be the issue though. It's like, again, he's sometimes pretty good at, again, I don't know if he's pretty good. I think, you know, a lot of the press is really bad at covering him. So it's like, oh, this could, because again, a lot of it, again, watching the news and stuff like this, and MSNBC, CNN, I don't watch the other stuff. Like, again, I think it's a new territory for a lot of people. I mean, Tony excluded, I don't know, you know, most of us don't know the inner workers of the ecosystem. So people, a lot of people are putting stuff out there, which sounds good and it makes sense on paper, but is it like something of actual value, or is it just like assuming something? I do think, you know, sometimes when you put out information that it could be more hurtful than anything, because people don't know what to expect. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think these being televised would be so helpful.
Yeah, it's just there is a good 35% of people that just, regardless of what they put up there, don't care. Like, they believe it's all fake.
Right.
And
right.
So
until he's literally in a cell, they're not going to believe anything.
And even when he's in the cell, they won't believe anything. I don't think you need to worry about the. And I think sometimes that is that I see that, and I see that talking point a lot of times where people were saying, "Oh, you're just gonna, you know, you're just gonna empower his base." His base doesn't care. I mean, they don't like. I mean, we've gone through this. Like, they don't see the irony of spending the better part of 5 years trying to lock her up, and then when it's, you know, tilted on his head, it's like, whoa, why are you going after him? Why are you prosecuting people for crimes now? The same way they don't understand the, you know, the irony of like, oh, you know, like Biden and Obama, like Hunter Biden, not a political figure, has been investigated for 3 years now.
He was going to prison. He's literally going to prison, except they threw out his plea agreement. So now he's in limbo, but he's probably going to prison at some point. But the funny part about the whole like lock her up thing is that all that occurred during a time where the Republicans held both houses of Congress and the presidency, investigated her from here to Tuesday, couldn't find anything.
Well, and that's what I was going to get at. It's not like these people have not tried.
They absolutely tried. They did everything they could, and there was nothing there to convict her of. And now Trump is indicted 4 times, and you know, maybe there was something there. Maybe.
Yes, the fact that like they've been able to find stuff, like if you're able to find something, and it, again, it wasn't that they were trying. I mean, I think in a lot of cases. I don't want to say a lot of cases, but I think people were trying their best in every which way to give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, because there's been stuff that he's gotten away with time and time again as president. Like, you know, during his presidency, you always heard about, like, the Hatch Act and, like, how, you know, like, as a sitting president, well, not even, you're not supposed to have any political events at the White House. It is a neutral ground. It's not, so, you know, he had campaign events there. I believe he had one of his big speeches there, and it's like, yeah, you know, this violates the Hatch Act. Okay, it violates the Hatch Act. What does that mean? Well, you know, it violates the Hatch Act. That, yeah. Yeah, but you're not going to do anything about it, so that doesn't change the nexus here.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of times where he did stuff where he got away with it, where it was like, oh, is wrong. But
him in his downtown DC hotel and encouraging people to stay there while they visited Washington,
yes,
to see him, like that kind of stuff.
That's the funniest shit too. It's like where they're going after Biden for whatever, right? His son was like, hey, he's trying to like make business deals using his dad,
yeah,
as like leverage, but his dad is like had nothing to do with it.
Dad is like, fuck off, Hunter, I don't want to talk to you,
right? And like they have this on tape, and then like he does get his dad to come on and talk to these people, and it's like, hey, like, you know, thanks for calling or whatever, like nothing, like it's just innocuous conversation. And he literally has Trump literally has people coming and staying in his hotel in Washington, paying him probably way above average price.
I mean, that, again, that stuff like that came out several times throughout, yeah, his presidency, where like, oh, either that or like he would charge the Secret Service more because they were forced to stay at his hotels when he stayed there because they have to protect him. So it's like, yeah, like he was enriching himself. And it's like, again, a lot of that stuff just was like treated as normal. And you see it time and time again where people are like, you know, like this president broke so many norms, but what? He broke norms. He broke, it's like, yeah, this is unusual. Thank you.
When you violate an act that has no enforcement provisions, what happens? Well, nothing.
So, but yes, the fact that again they've spent years, and they still spend time. You know, we've had, I think, two attempts at impeaching Biden. And they are like, we're going to impeach Biden. On what grounds? His treatment of border. Okay, that's not a crime.
Right. Write it down into something we can impeach him for. And they can't. Like, and it doesn't help that the people who are putting together these articles are like the dumb caucus. Like,
yeah.
They are not qualified for positions they hold. So like asking those people to put together an ironclad legal document, good luck.
And I mean, this is we're at the state of our country now. But yeah, so many people were elected into office without actually understanding how their office operates, that a lot of times it's like, oh, we just have to say we're going to do this. And it's like, no, it wasn't just like, oh, we're just going to impeach Trump. There's a whole process to it. There's like, it's not like you can just say it and it magically happens. And I think we see that time and time again where people just do this stuff and it's like, okay, now what? And it's like, oh, now we actually have to follow the laws as established. We don't get to play by our own rules or say whatever we want to say.
Yep. Anyway, Jeff is not with us. He is I don't know.
It's too hot. Hot, guys.
He's hot and he's enjoying Trump's photo, I guess.
Ooh, what does that mean? Jeff is in a room with like candles and
it's like, this is great.
Trump's photo on the mantle.
Best thing I've ever seen, guys.
He's like gazing at it while music plays in the background. It's nice. It's got like a little violinist.
To be fair to Jeff, he has, I mean, he works outside and it is like 7 billion degrees in the Midwest. So can't really blame him on that one, but He is off resting, I assume. But stuff happened this week in the worlds of games. Before we get to that, though, Earl, you played some of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's four words, right?
Oh my gosh, that I mean, this is completely on me. I get, well, not completely on me, but that blew me away because I did not realize chainsaw was two different words in the first movie. Chainsaw is one word in theory, but in the first movie, it is referred to as the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And when I started the game, they have like an opening scroll, which is like the same narration from the first movie. And I said, I'm like, did they get a typo here? And it was not just me, a lot of people online were the same way. And it's like, if you get the poster for the actual first movie, it does say, because it's like the Texas chain, then saw is a different line, massacre. So it is two, so it is four different words. And somebody's super excited for me to be here. But yes, I did play that. And I will say I was very, I'm still trying to earn the ropes again. I also point out that when I played it mostly so far, it has been late at night when I've been drinking. Mm-hmm. Is that it's, I thought, because I believe it's the same thing made Friday the 13th. So I assumed it would be very similar to Friday the 13th. And it isn't in some ways. It is a asymmetrical multiplayer game. Unlike a lot of the, a lot of asymmetrical multiplayer games that I know of, it's not a one versus many type situation. In this case, it's 4v3. So it's uneven teams, but it's still pretty kind of similar numbers. You play as the, I want to say victims, but I think that they might be victims. I forget if it's victims or survivors, does not matter. Or you play as part of the family. So the family's like the other face and the chef and the butcher, and then like the survivors like Connie and stuff like that. So like Dead by Daylight and like Friday the 13th, which is the two main contemporaries. Every character has like their own unique ability and stats. So Connie, for instance, with a lockpick, she can instantly unlock a door. Whereas if you don't have that ability, you have to go through like a little mini game. There's a cooldown, so it's not like you can use it constantly, but it does make it faster to kind of get, you know, open doors and stuff like that. One of the characters, I forget his name, he has the ability to kind of sense other characters nearby, because even though it is a, you know, cooperative game, I think the killers can communicate, but the victims can only communicate within proxy of each other. So I guess you're in a private chat, which, you know, we tend to be. You can't hear anybody unless you're like within like a certain radius. And part of that, I assume, again, if it's like Friday the 13th, is then the killers can also hear you. So you, it's kind of like that thing between like, oh, you want to talk, but maybe not talk too much. And then on the, give me one second.
Why does Earl keep barking?
I don't know.
I understand.
So while we wait for Earl, the one thing I thought was neat here is that like it is 4v3, but there are like four or five different family members you can play as. So it's not, you're not always playing as the three same killers. I assume somebody will always pick Leatherface. Because, I mean, he's an iconic character, but yeah, there's other characters, I guess, that you can pick, so you're not always going to end up with the same three people chasing you. It does seem weird though that, cause I would think, and we'll find out from Earl when he gets back, that the killers would have the advantage. It's their turf.
Yeah, the numbers seem almost too close to even.
Yeah. And like, it, I don't know, like just knowing from the movies, right? It's a bloodbath. Like the survivors don't, the victims, it's probably the better word as Earl used it, are probably the better word, because in general, only like one person ever survives those massacres. So,
right.
Like these killers, they have the weapons, right? They start out. So earlier back, The killers are at the advantage at the start, right? They're
always at the advantage. I mean, that they are never not at the advantage. Because that's it. As a victim, you are basically, it's kind of like a stealth game. You are trying to sneak around them because it's pretty easy for them to kill you or at least damage you. And one of the ways they do that is like there are meters when you do stuff that it's like a noise meter. So like the first thing you do, you start off every match hooked. So you have to get off the hook. As far as I can tell, the layout is pretty much the same, but you start up different areas. Mm-hmm. And they set upstairs, so they don't know where you are exactly. So, but if you make noise when you get off the hook, then it alerts them, like, oh, like this person's here, so they can kind of come downstairs and figure out where you are. And then as the game goes on, Grandpa, which is like the patriarch of the family, can be awakened by either the victims making too much noise, or you can find blood bags around the level and you can feed Grandpa blood. And when Grandpa gets leveled up, and you can level him up by feeding him blood constantly after he's awakened, for a period of time, if you move, they will be alerted to your position. So it's kind of like, oh, Grandpa's awake now. You know, everybody kind of stay calm and stop doing what you're doing. And I don't actually know how long it lasts. It's weird to see. After a while, you just start moving and stuff like that. That is kind of the basic side from the the enemy. So for the victims, it is pretty much like there are multiple ways to exit the stage. There is a entrance. There's an exit by the parking lot, which you would need. In order to do that, you have to the fence there is electrified, so you have to depower that. Then you have to find a power thing to open the fence, and then you can escape. And then I think you need a lockpick to actually open that one. There is one which is a pressure valve, which you need a pressure valve and a gas canister to then turn a nozzle and open that. There's one where you can just kind of lockpick your way through, which you need three different lockpicks. Mm-hmm. And then there's one in the basement, which I've never done, but I think you need to find something upstairs and return to the basement. Unlock that and then pick that door and then you can escape through that. Now, once any of these are open, they're open for anybody, but it's also just as easy for the killers to just shut it down. So like if you do the battery thing and they come and the killer comes across it, the killer can then restart the battery again, which would mean you'd have to do that whole process again. And it would make noise, or if you're a smart killer, you might hang around that area because if somebody started this, that might mean they will come back here. As far as I know, there's not a ton of... You can run away from the killers. And I think if you have bone scraps, I'm told you can attack them when they grab you.
Okay, so you have a way to damage them a little bit.
Yes. But outside of that, your best offense is a good defense. Because of their sizes, the victims can tend to squeeze through smaller spaces that the killers can't get through. So, knowing your environment and knowing, there's a space here that I can squeeze through in case of emergency. You can hide out in stuff. There's, freezers and lockers you can hide out in. But you can't do a finite. You have a breather meter. After a while, your character will bust out. And then if you wait until that breather meter is full, then you'll be incapacitated for a period of time. Not long, but, 5, 10, enough time for, you're just vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Acid effort, the whole point is to kind of break out of the basement to go upstairs. If you are getting chased and you have no real recourse upstairs, there are one or two wells you can jump down. You will take damage, but the killers can't go down the well and it separates you. You do have to recover sometime, but again, it's an acid effort. I'm being chased. I just need to, create space between us. You jump down a well, and that is your defense.
Except now you're at the bottom of a well.
Yeah, you're back in the basement where you started. So
it does suck,
but it is, again, it's just because then they'd have to go all the way back downstairs to get you and stuff like that. So yeah. So yeah, I mean, again, as a survivor, you are kind of grab out of luck, but you know, you have some ways of combating this stuff on your end.
So is it much more enjoyable to play as one of the killers than it is as a survivor?
I honestly feel like it goes either way. I think because it's not 1v many, like you have to kind of work with your, you have to work with the team. Cause like, for instance, the other face is huge. So he can't fit in as many spaces and his chainsaw is super loud. So you can usually hear him coming.
Right.
There are other characters who are faster, but they might not be as strong. Like for instance, like, you know, one of the ways you can escape is like, there is like these little blocks that's like covered by barbed wire and you can kind of slide underneath them. The killers can't do that, but the other face can cut through it. So if you don't have another face, you can't, like, that's just a way that the victim can get away, get around you without having to worry. And then some people, like, you know, they create poisons and stuff. Which is again good, but like it's like, oh, you have to one of the killers I used is, what was their power? I think they could sense humans, or they could sense something, but it's like one of those things where it's like you needed to be able to communicate with people, and if people aren't on communications, you're effective on your own, but you still need something. You need to work with people, and I think that's always going to be the thing. It's like you need to work with people, on both sides. But I think playing as a survivor, I think it takes some getting used to. Again, like with these games, I think because you have to eventually level up your gear or your stats. And I think that's once you start leveling up those stats, like, you know, I mentioned Grandpa's like the cheat code for the killers, but like there are ways for the victims to incapacitate Grandpa. And again, as you get, you know, later stages, you can bring him down level. So, you know, he won't stay at a 5, because I think at a 5, almost any movement you do with Grandpa and stuff like that. And then again, I think it's also very easy, in my experience, it's also very easy to kind of get turned around as a killer, because like you, aside from them making noise, you don't necessarily know where the humans are. So, and then there's like, you know, 2 or 3 levels. So it's like, sometimes they might, like you get it already when they go upstairs, like the first time, but you don't know if they're upstairs or downstairs and there's 4 of them. So like, it might be like you're chasing one and like, if, you know, if it's a good, maybe somebody else comes in and chase defense and throws you off to the other person who can escape, and they're far enough that you, by the time you chase them, they're out of the way of harm. So I think it's fun. I think it's a good Game Pass game.
Okay. Kind of into it. I did not get a chance to play it this past week, but I do want to give it a go. And play it a little bit. It sounds like maybe the matches are a little bit faster than Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Oh, Friday the 13th, at some point just kind of got into a very, there were ways to negate, Jason's effectiveness. It also does not need as many moving pieces. Cause again, there are certain things similar, having to like exit through a car or something, but like, you don't need to find a battery. You don't need to find keys. You don't need to. And I think the maps are smaller in general. So like, yeah, it's not, Yeah, it's not like, oh, you can wait out 15 minutes and survive.
Got it. Neat. I am glad it is on Game Pass, so I probably will give it a go.
And just a fun side effect, I guess, I've seen a lot of people who have started to revisit the movie franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I've always seen the first one, and I think the most recent one on Netflix.
That one's not good.
Yes. So, and I was also recommending it to a friend to do for Halloween, and I was like, oh, you know, I've not actually seen it, so it might be good to revisit. So,
I mean, you could probably say this about most of the big horror franchises, but like a lot of those films are not good.
Oh no, I don't.
How dare you?
Like, I think, well, if you've seen the first one, right, Earl?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that there's that, there is the, it's not, it's not Michael Bay, but it's Platinum Dunes. The Platinum Dunes remake. I think they're both good horror films. Two is a weird film. There are people that really like it, and then there are people that are like, this is way too goofy. Three is okay. I think four has Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey in it.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was like direct to video.
Also, whoa.
Yeah. Then there's the remake. Then there's the sequel to the remake. There's another one that came out after. It has nothing to do with any of them. And then maybe the one that you saw, Earl, the Netflix one.
And then Leatherface has like an origin movie, right?
Oh, there is a Leatherface movie. You are correct. Yes.
It's a very interesting franchise. Let's go with that.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, you could point to Halloween and go like, you know, 4, 5, 6, you know, I think people like H2O. People don't like Resurrection.
Yeah.
And then, like there's like hit or miss, but there's more hits. Same with Friday the 13th and with Nightmare on Elm Street. I think Texas Chainsaw has always been that fourth rung horror franchise, and probably because the first one is really the only truly great movie in the franchise. But
yeah, and I think, I mean, again, this is weird to say about a horror franchise, but clearly it was not intended to be like a series. And
no,
and it's like they just kept on trying to find ways to stretch it out, because I don't even know how you make a sequel to the first one I saw that makes sense. But apparently they do. So
yeah, I mean, multiple sequels, because there's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, which is like the original sequel, and then there's the one that you saw on
Netflix.
On Netflix, and that is technically a sequel to the original film as well. It just takes place like 40 years later.
Yeah.
Mess.
I will always just laugh at that one for the whole, like, oh man, we're bringing back the OG character as half a killed off in the most spoilers, I guess, but the most unceremonious way possible.
Yeah, like they tried to do the, like, we're bringing back Laurie Strode, who's going to face off against Michael Myers thing that Halloween did. And one, nobody remembers that person from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And two, the way they do it is just so anticlimactic that this does not work. There is a great gory bus scene, though, where Leatherface is on the bus killing everybody with his chainsaw in the most absurd way.
Yes.
But yeah, that's a bad movie.
Again, I thought the idea of like using social media like that had potential.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's like, it's kind of like Halloween Resurrection, where it's like the idea behind it is not terrible. The execution is. Because like the whole idea of like, oh, like this, you know, like this, I mean, it was the height, it was not even the height, it was before reality TV kind of took off. Where they're like, oh, we're going to have like this reality TV set in the Myers home where people have to survive. I'm like, that is totally something I could see them doing nowadays, but yeah, it was not the time for it, and it just did not. I mean, especially coming off of the strong ending of H2O, which I know now has its, it has its detractors, but I still think it's a really good, a really solid movie.
But I mean, Busta Rhymes does do kung fu against
Michael Myers,
so there's that.
Yes,
I love it just for that. And there's a scene where Busta Rhymes, he's like the producer of this show. He walks up to the guy he thinks is playing Michael Myers and gives him orders on where to find the kids at. Just so dumb. And the worst
part is that Michael listens to him.
Yeah, it's like in most other Halloween movies, Michael would just kill him at that point. But he listens. Yeah. He like tilts his head. It's so great. It's so dumb.
Does that make any sense whatsoever? It's what they wanted to make. So,
have they mentioned anything about continuing like add-on content, add-on maps? Like, are they gonna do more Texas Chainsaw?
That's what I was fascinated by. They have not said either way yet, but I think I read somewhere ahead of time that it's like they have the rights for the first movie, which is why I think a lot of the people are from the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like one of those things where I'm like, I don't know how Texas Chainsaw rights work, because I don't know if it's like a case of like Friday the 13th, where Friday the 13th has that weird like, oh, we're able to use. You're able to use characters from, like, somebody has the right to use the characters from Friday the 13th. But because Jason was, as we know him, is introduced in Friday the 13th 2 and beyond, they don't have the rights to use Jason because he's a wholly original character from Jason that we see in Friday the 13th, because then he's a kid where like, he becomes like that full grown adult in later movies, and he becomes the one that you kind of know now, later on. So it's very confusing.
I mean, I hope that they do get the rights to later films, because be interesting to see how they kind of make that work.
I just want them to get the rights for later films, because again, like the other people behind Friday the 13th, and the rights issue was what killed Friday the 13th for them. So I don't want that to kill another game for them. Where it's like, you got to sort this out.
Horror film rights. Who would have thought they would be so damn messy? But
I mean, this is what happens. Then it's like, you know, passion projects of people who in their basement for like $500, and then they end up being uber popular, and now, you know, studios want to came like, oh no, that was us all the whole time. It's like, was it though? Was it? But yes, fun game. I do think, I know this week just did not go as intended. But yeah, it would be nice if we, because I think it's 7 players. So you could do private lobbies, I think. I mean, we could probably get Jeff. That's 5 people. We'll see. Yeah.
All right. Well, I am definitely game to give it a go. I haven't installed
it. I'll murder people or be murdered. That's fine.
Even if it's just like one night we tried out and like for like this isn't for us, then it's just one night we played some stuff together. Tony, did you play anything this past week?
I played more Baldur's Gate 3. All my characters are now max level gods.
Oh.
The game maxes out at level 12. I think in real Dungeons and Dragons you can go up to level 20.
Yeah.
But
at that point you actually are gods.
You actually are a god. You can do it. Although my characters are pretty good. Like, I have one of them that can, you know, summon a demon from the hells that will stay with you all day long until you go to sleep, and then you wake up and you summon a new demon. It's, you know, it's a rough life with their demon friend. She could also, like, you know, cause a torrent of hellfire to land from the heavens that basically incinerates anything. And then at some point, like, my party ended up surrounded by 25 guys, and she was able to appeal to her god and instantly incinerate all of them around me.
That is kind of cool.
So, like, level 12 is pretty good, so I think I can live with that kind of stuff. But it still feels like there's so much game left, like there's so much left to do. And like, I read about it online about all the stuff that I missed in the first 2 acts. Like, there is so much. I think I've played more than 80 hours at this point. And I feel like I've like only scratched the surface of certain things. On the other hand, I'm also close enough to the end. Like, I know where the end game quests are, and I could just hop in right now, but there are other storylines I want to, you know, wrap up or play to their conclusion. There are some where I'm like still in the middle, And like still pushing towards it. It's just there's so much game here. It's so great. They're just it's fun. It's super fun. So I don't mind that there's so much game.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to have. Quite entertaining. But that was not the only game I played this week though, because I did go to Dave and Buster's.
Oh.
Just to kind of tie it in and just to go circle while we're here, that did come out today that it will be making its appearance on Xbox this year. They're just foregoing split screen co-op on the Series S,
which has been like the sticking point the entire time. I'm surprised that it took them this long to get to, like, maybe it was finally, oh, this game's getting so much press and the reviews are
I think we have to have it now. I think that's exactly it. It was like, oh, we need this for the holiday season.
Yeah.
It's like, a lot of people are saying, and it's going to look really bad. Like, I mean, it's still going to be bad because I think Sony gets it in a few weeks.
Yeah.
They get it the same day as Starfield. Yeah,
they didn't announce, like, the day. They didn't give us a date. I bet part of the deal is the game comes to Game Pass. It would not shock me at all.
I could see that, them releasing it maybe mid-November after Call of Duty comes out.
Yeah.
When like October is way too packed to drop anything else in there. So I think if there's like a 6-week period from beginning of October, middle of November, if they release it in the middle of November, it gives Xbox players like one last thing to kind of look forward to play at the end of the year. And if they hit Game Pass, that would be really, really great.
The previous game, Divinity and Divinity Original, Divinity Original Sin and Divinity Original Sin 2, I think both hit Game Pass.
Okay.
At some point. So it wouldn't, like, it's not out of the realm, right? So, would not surprise me.
That would be neat. I do wonder if, like, this is a one-off with them conceding that Series S doesn't have to have feature parity.
So one of the interesting things, so Phil Spencer released a statement afterwards saying that this wasn't the only time they had a game that didn't have feature parity.
Okay.
That there were lots of games that, for instance, had ray tracing, which the Series S does not allow. So he kind of pretended like, and maybe this is just him pretending, like this was a thing, like it does happen, and it's happened before.
Yeah, it seemed, and I mean, Larian was the one out there going, like, we don't know when we're going to be able to get it on Xbox.
We can't, like, Larian was like, we want to release the same game on everything. If we can't, we're just not releasing on your system.
Yeah, so who knows, but I'm glad they worked it out.
Yeah, I mean, the game is something like a 96 on Metacritic, like, it's insane on Metacritic. And
it's crazy.
Yeah.
So tell us about Dave and Buster's.
Dave and Buster's. So there is a Dave and Buster's in walking distance from my apartment. I moved to this apartment knowing that that was the case. And when I signed the lease, it was like January of 2020. And when I moved, it was like April, which was like the beginning of the pandemic. So I have actually never been to this Dave and Buster's before, even though it's in walking distance. It was just my kids and I for the week. So I'm like, all right, let's go. We'll go to Dave and Buster's and walk over there and see how it is. My first thing is, like, it's like a casino. It sounds like a casino when you walk through like with all like the machines and the dinging and all this stuff, like this sounds and feels like a casino. And then my kids sit down and they're like playing this like spearfishing game to get tickets for prizes. Mm-hmm. And they're like, all right, I used up all my things. All right, hit the thing again. Like, oh, it's just sucking my money away, just like a casino. This feels exactly
it's just legalized gambling for
children.
Yeah.
That said, it wasn't that expensive. It was less expensive than I expected. And they gave me enough rewards on my first trip that we went back later this week, and it was almost free, like practically free, to do it again, which was fine.
Nice.
We did play some actual games, though, while we were there. Rampage was the big one that stuck out.
Classic rebuilding.
Yes. Now they released a new version of Rampage alongside the film in 2018, and that was the one that we played.
Okay.
And it goes super fast now. So basically, the game puts up like 5 buildings, and you have your monsters. You can knock them down, and then it just flips you to the next set of buildings, and then the next set. So if you played the original game, like they would give you this like set of buildings, and you would destroy them all. And when they were all destroyed, you would move to the next city, right?
Yeah.
So now it's just like in an endless set of 5 building, 5 building, 5 building, 5 building forever. And as you play, your characters like level up and they get stronger and they can like hit harder and they get more health. But there's so much like stuff flying around the screen that you still die a lot. So it's kind of like one of those coin sucking games. Cause you know, you die and you immediately have to like, okay. And my kids are like, Daddy, can you hit the thing again so I can respawn? And I'm like, okay, fine. Hit it again. So they're like dying like once every like 3 or 4 cities. So it's kind of like sucking your coins away. And so I looked up the game afterwards because they really seemed to enjoy playing it. And, you know, I like destroying cities as well. It's, you know, my milieu. Yeah. This is the only way you can play the game. It doesn't really exist outside of Dave and Buster's. It's an exclusive.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a shame that they never brought it to like home consoles or anything, though.
It's weird. I mean, it's super fun, but like, I would probably not play it that way again. And of course, my kids, once they got into the other games where they got like prizes, like, they don't really want to play that one. They want to play the games where they get stuff.
Yeah.
So, the other thing we tried out was like the VR experience, which they call the game. My younger son is bugging me. He wants to get like a VR headset. And I'm like, you know, it makes me nauseous. I don't love it. But I'm like, we should try VR before you do this.
Yeah.
So we went, so we wanted to try it. So we sat down for the Transformers experience. It is not a game. They call it a game. Like, oh, you're playing this VR game. It is a ride.
Yeah.
You put on your headset, you can look around, you see everything, it's great. I think there were like 2 interactions the entire time. They like give you this like blaster to hold in your hand that you never use. It was like my son was like, he's like, I died. I'm like, how could you die? there were 2 chances, and both times they're like, now's the time to use your blaster. But it was fun. It was like a fun ride, and it's like a fully like the seat like moves around while you're sitting on it.
That's cool.
Yeah, and of course, you know, you saw Optimus Prime with like, you know, it was Optimus Prime and Megatron and Bumblebee, and they all had the classic voices, and Starscream. Like, it kind of had that, like, so it was kind of like having like a mini, like, if you've been on like the Universal Studios or whatever rides, like, it's kind of like having a mini version of that.
I mean, that's neat, but those are, and this is one of my big complaints with VR games, is that they're mostly experiences. So like,
yes.
You're not going to go back and play them over and over again.
I wouldn't play that again. I would play a different one.
Right.
I wouldn't play that one again because there was nothing like, am I going to do better next time? I'm not.
Right. Like you're on this, you're on a roller coaster basically, yeah, with like an interaction, exactly, point.
Yes. So it was fun. I enjoyed it, but like, cool. There's like, they have like 7 of them, so we may go back and do one of the other ones. But it was fun.
That's good to hear.
It's like the only games that I really know of that are like games are like stuff like Beat Saber.
Yeah.
And like stuff like that, where it's more of like it's an arcadey type game, but there is a game there.
Yeah.
You're trying to get a high score or like whatever. I am kind of like with your kid where it's like, I want to get one mostly because like, I just want to do those Star Wars experiences that they've released.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of money.
It is like, headset. it's like more than $300 for, I don't know that I can.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad. Glad you finally got to Dave and Buster's.
Yeah. They are fun. They are fun though.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll be back, given that it's too close by, and now my kids are like, "Oh, it's great."
No. Did they have the Halo game?
They had the Halo game. Yes.
Did they have Mario Kart?
I didn't see Mario Kart.
Mm.
We also played Minecraft Legends.
An arcade cabinet of it? Mm-hmm. That's neat.
Yeah. There were a few other ones. There was like Giant Galaga and Giant Pac-Man, and there were other like ones that appealed to me, but since I was there with my kids, I'm like, oh, they're not gonna have any interest in doing those things.
Yeah, so. I played the Giant Pac-Man and Galaga ones. They're neat. Like they're the giant like 8-foot screens.
Yeah.
Maybe
I have to go back by myself, or you know, with people who aren't my children.
You go with like other adults and have some drinks and play arcade games.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume this is, but like, I know the Dave and Buster's here that at some point it does become that. It's like adults only.
Yeah.
I think it's like 5 o'clock or something. There's like a cutting. There's a time they stop letting the kids in. And I mean, there was a bar and like a full restaurant. Like I could have done stuff, but nah.
Yeah, and I think that's what covered my impression, because I think I talked about this when I went. It's like, that's why I was surprised when I went to Chuck E. Cheese this year for my niece's birthday that didn't serve alcohol. I'm like, oh, Dave and Buster's does, and that's kind of kid-friendly, but it does, I guess at some point it does convert. It is like kid-friendly, and then it's like, yeah, now you can drink.
Yeah. I think Dave and Buster's may have eliminated the dividing line, too. I think they allow kids at all times now.
That may be because
I seem to remember seeing that somewhere.
I went out with friends last year to one, and we played all the way through that Halo game. But there were kids there, and it was late, like 10:30, 11 o'clock.
They probably realized that they're losing money out on not allowing kids to be there.
Yeah, I remember being so. I was 21, and I was with a 19-year-old, and we were like on a date, and we tried to get into Dave and Buster's at like 5 o'clock, and they wouldn't let her in.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess on some level, it's like if we know everybody is 21, we don't have to worry about somebody coming up to the bar. And
yeah.
But you just make your bartenders accountable for like if you think that they might not be 21, check ID.
Well, I think, and I guess that's the thing is because I think kids were allowed with adults, but. I think it's like the teenagers where it's that weird, you're not going to mistake a 5-year-old for being 21.
Yeah.
But you might.
But a 19-year-old, you could, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I like Dave and Buster's. I do, like you, Earl, you mentioned it, the Mario Kart cabinet. I do want to find one that has that. I'd like to play that game.
I would say, because it's usually. I find that that's popular. They, I don't know why, because it works. Flappy Bird's always been a popular one. I feel like
they definitely had Flappy Bird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild. Fruit Ninja is another one that I've
seen. Yep, they had Fruit Ninja too.
Yeah. Like Fruit Ninja, I get, but Flappy Bird was such a mobile game for such a small period of time. Like in the grand scheme of things, it was like a month. It was like months. If that, where it was like a hot thing, because like wasn't it that the guy was just like he didn't expect it to go that way and he deleted it or something.
I think that sounds right. Like I don't think he expected it to get that big, and it was like using like rip. It was like using basically stolen assets. Like
yeah,
I think he drew them himself, but weren't the pipes like very reminiscent of Mario? And
yeah,
the bird itself kind of looked like a cheap.
Yes, and so like yeah, it's like one of those things. Like it persists. Like to think about like the terms of like when that was popular, when it stopped being popular, it was a very quick window of time where Flappy Bird was like the thing. Like Fruit Ninja, I mean, I think you know, like I'm not gonna look it up because I feel like I'm gonna look at Fruit Ninja is gonna make me feel really old because I feel like that was like a late 2000s, early 2010s game.
That sounds right. It was like right when Touch
Yes.
It kind of touch screens.
2010, April 1st, 2010.
Because there was a Kinect version as well.
Yes.
But yes, it's like just thinking about that stuff. And but like they have because they're very popular in that thing. And I think part of it is like kind of like touch. They're very fun and they're very visual games. They're very easy for people to watch you play and get invested in, which is why I think a lot of times racing games are awesome. Because the racing games take up a ton of room, but then you have like four people on like bikes or four people in go-karts, and it's like, oh, this is very, very visually appealing. I want to try this.
Yeah.
And like gun games. There's usually a Time Crisis or a Time Cop. I forget which one. Time Crisis. Time Cop is the movie.
I saw Terminator 2.
Yes, there's always a Terminator. Sometimes you'll see the Jurassic Park one.
There was a Tomb Raider one, actually.
Yep. I've never seen a Tomb Raider one.
I've never seen one working. I've seen the cabinet four times, but I've never seen it operational. But it's a light gun game. It's on like a 80-inch screen, and there's guns attached to it. Jurassic Park is in the Jeep, right? Like, or is it maybe you get out of the Jeep? I think it starts off in the Jeep
and then you get out. But like, yeah, it's like it's a dino hunting game. But yes, it's and now I don't. Now you just make me want to go to Dave and Buster's.
Yeah, I kind of want to go back now. Thanks, guys.
You're the one talking about it.
you're the one that can literally walk there.
No. I want to try the food too. Is the food good? I don't know.
It's actually not bad. I will say I'm also a fan of the drinks. I think they do the thing I enjoy. They have a really like not themed, but they have a lot of really fun. Like I don't know if they have it anymore. I know again because I think to age myself. This is my 24th birthday there. So that I've been going there for almost 20 years now. Not the 20 years of my 24th, but I used to go there when I was younger. Because I think at one point they had like a Ghostbuster drink. They had a lot of different cocktails and stuff like that. The food's fine.
It's above bar food.
It's above bar food, but it's not necessarily like you're not. It's not 5-star dining, but like it gets the job done. And usually they have again. It's been such a long time. Because it used to be like it was like $20 for like dinner, and then you get like $10 worth of not tickets. They did like the card, so you'd get like money on the card with your meal as well. And it's like, oh, this is a great combo. Why the heck not?
Yeah, I'm not sure if we ate there the last time. I don't remember if they had dine and play deal, but it might have been on like a specials page or something.
Well, now you get like rewards. Like the cool thing for me was like using my my phone to just like do everything. Like just walk around, buy the credits on my phone.
Oh, like okay,
just tap my phone to the machines to let me play.
So you didn't even need a card. Like it was just
no, you don't even need a physical card anymore.
That's cool.
When we were like cashing in the tickets, like all I did was like bring up the QR code on my phone and they scan it and my kids got the prizes they wanted. It was cool.
That's neat.
I'll say as you get older. And probably should have, but like it's always so weird to actually I go with the little ones sometimes. It's weird to calculate sometimes the cost because it's like you end up spending more money to get some of these prizes than you would if you just outright bought it with cash at some place.
So I spent $65 the first day we went, and my kids played games for 2 hours. And they ended up bringing 4 stuffed animals back with them.
That's a good haul.
We went back today because they gave me $10 in credits just for going the last time, and we had enough credits left over. I bought 2 VR passes so that my younger son and I could sit in the VR thing today, and then my kids got enough tickets with the credits we had left over to get this like giant stuffed otter. So all I spent today was $12.
Okay. Not bad.
So like it was pretty inexpensive. Given some of the other things, like I took my kids to the aquarium a few weeks ago and it was like $200 and we were there for like an hour.
What did you do at the aquarium? Did you buy the animals?
All you aquariums are like expensive. The tickets are it's like $40 a person.
Yeah.
All right, you folks have people. I mean, okay, that sounds right for aquarium ticket, but I'm like,
my girlfriend and I were adults, and then we had two kids tickets, and it ended up being like $160 or something.
Yeah, they're not cheap. and yeah, Earl, when you're going by yourself, like $40, yeah, like
if it was just me, it would be fine.
When you have to tack on three or five other people, it becomes potentially more expensive. That's why like people are like, oh, like why? Like I love going to movies.
Why do you take your kids to the movie?
Exactly. It's like, you know, every time I take my kids to the movies, it's $150, right? Like between buying tickets and then getting popcorn and stuff. Like it isn't cheap to take your kids to the movies.
This is why I like being in DC and going to the zoo. Zoo's free. So my kids and I went to the zoo yesterday. So cool. $0. It cost me, I spent $23 on food. We bought lunch there. And that was it. That was all I spent. Perfect.
That's nice. Our zoo, we have to pay for the Philly Zoo. So we used to get like a membership, but.
Yeah, we do have a membership, which gives us like, that's why the food was only $23, because it's like 15% off. And my kids, again, bought a bunch more stuff, and they get the membership cons on that too, so they get 15% off everything at the gift shop too.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is also the part where I plug that, like, you should always check your local library, because like it's part of the one of the benefits, which I hate saying, one of the perks of having the library card here in New York is you can also get what we call a culture pass, which is free. It's a free thing, but it's like it allows you to use your library card for I think something like 36 culturals, including like the Bronx Zoo, the Intrepid Museum, the Transit Museum, I think MoMA and stuff like that. So again,
wait, you can get a MoMA for free?
I think MoMA is included.
That's kind of cool.
I will look it up while we're talking. But like, yes, I always try to tell people that because I'm like, it's not, you can't do it. I think you get like one or two for the year. But mm-hmm. I also don't know how, I mean, one or two per thing. Like you can use it at all of these exhibits, but I'm also like, I don't know people who go to museums, like the same museum multiple times of the year. So yeah, okay, so you can use it on the American Museum of Natural History, Asian Society Museum, Bronx Museum of Art, Brooklyn Botanical Gardens, which doesn't count for me because I get it for free because of my job. Brooklyn Children Museum, the Brooklyn Museum, like I said, the Intrepid. I know that one because I got tickets and didn't end up going.
The aircraft carrier?
Yeah, it's a sea air and space museum.
Mm.
The Jackie Robinson Museum, the Jewish Museum, King Manor, the Met. MoMA PS1. I don't know what that is.
PS1.
I don't know. The Morgan Library.
MoMA on PlayStation 1.
Right, exactly. There you go.
Museum of Art and Design, Museum of Bronx History. Oh, yeah, there we go. MoMA, Museum of Modern Art. But yeah, you can get them for free. I mean, also, some of these museums do that thing, and I get it. I understand. Like, they also do that thing where it's like, this is your suggested cost, and it's not necessarily the price. It's just like it's free, but like a donation wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. So
this is why, like, I go to the zoo for free. I never mind having to buy stuff there, though, like lunch, and we always go to the gift shop and buy a few things because it's free. But like, I want to support it somehow.
Yeah. I mean, calling a spade a spade. Not to show too much, but I mean, that's what I did. I worked at fundraising for the library because everything the library does is free of charge, but I somehow we have to be able to.
It was free for you, but it wasn't free. Like, it's still like the person who gave you that book, that person makes a salary and needs to be paid, and that book needed to be purchased, and you know, there were lights in the building and.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's free, but like, free, you know, free's great, free's awesome, and I support it. But I'm also like, free is something. You gotta pay the bill somehow.
Yes,
And part of that is asking people for money. So,
MoMA PS1 is a contemporary art museum located in Queens.
Okay.
It's linked to MoMA, but that's in Manhattan. So.
Museum of Moving Image. But yeah, like I said, I don't always know that, but I do know, like, working at a library is like one of the things I always tell people, not just for us, it's like, because this pops up all the time on the internet, where it's like, I'm sure you folks have seen this on Twitter and stuff like that, it's like, I'm of a certain age, I don't know how to make friends anymore, and my first thought is like, I know it's hard, but I'm always like, look, libraries are always a good thing. There's a ton of programs, it's free. There's a bunch of different things you can try out. It's stuff like that. There's meetup.com. But I'm always like, yeah, there are options. If you don't want to try, that's different than not being able to.
Yes. Use the Google. You'll find lots of things to do on the Google.
Yes. But a lot of people don't want to try and just say how hard it is. And I'm just like, but you haven't done anything.
Right.
Like I always tell people, it's a weird comparison, but I'm like, making friends is like dating. It's like you do have to put in an effort. And mm-hmm. It doesn't just mean like, oh, you know, like I try. Like if you make friends, you got to talk to them. You got to communicate. You got to find hobbies and stuff. It's not just like, oh, like we're good. So. Again, I just pointed out that came out again this week because somebody's like, they're like, Am I too old to make new friends? And they're like, they're 32. I'm like, well, God damn it. if you're too old to make friends, what the hell am I?
No, you're never too old to make new friends. Gotta, you know, put the work in if you actually want to do it.
That's right.
Yeah. And it also, you know, it also depends. Like, you may not make best friends. Like, I mean, there's a lot of people. Or people are like, I have kids and I don't make, I feel like, I mean, I don't know as I'm not a parent, but I find like, I feel like being a parent, not easier, but like when they're younger, you can make like mommy and me groups and stuff like that.
Yeah. Also there's like trying to get away from that.
Yeah.
And, you know, wanting to speak to people who are adults and not children. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, kids activities will inevitably bring other adults together, so
right.
Like, you become acquaintances and friendly with those people.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people, again, it's like, I feel like, well, this is just a therapy session this week on this podcast, apparently. But I feel like a lot of people get so absorbed in like, I'm going to be this to my family, that's all they are, and it's like, there's no shame in saying like, you want a night away from your kids.
I would say it is healthy to do so.
You will lose your mind if you don't have those nights away. Like, if the only thing you do all the time is parenting, God help you. you need to be yourself sometimes.
And I know of parents that do that, and they like they latch on from like the moment of birth until like, you know, they go to college. When they go to college, those parents break down.
They are lost, right? Yeah.
What to do? They haven't done anything for 18 years. And that's actually kind of sad when that happens.
Yes.
Yeah. Go take breaks. Go do adult things with other adults.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, we are all over the place today, but circling back.
What have you been playing, Chris?
I played quite a bit this week, which at the beginning of this week, I would not have said that would have been possible, but because it's weird laying down, being stuck in a bed for hours. You think, oh, I can play video games. Not a comfortable position. Like when you are specifically like you have to lay flat, like maybe your head is arched a little bit. It's hard to play games that way. That's not how I like to play games, at least. So
absolutely
I ended up watching a lot of like movies and TV the first 3 days after my surgery. And I watched, finished all of Twisted Metal.
How is that?
I actually ended up liking it. I wouldn't say it's good.
Exactly. It's fun. Not good, but it tends to be fun. And yeah, that's like,
I think it is a lot based on the charisma of
Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, Anthony Mackie and Stephanie Beatrice. And their partnership together. I think that they're fun, and even like there's like, you know, Sweet Tooth is kind of a major character. He has his own kind of arc going on. And this other guy, Stu, like their relationship is kind of fun and goofy. I don't know how twisted metal-y it is. Like, these are characters that are in the Twisted Metal game, but there's a noticeable lack over 10 episodes of like car combat for a series, a video game series based on car combat, but it's mostly fun, I think. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yes, and that was one of the complaints a lot of people had. It's like, there's a car combat sequence to start off the show. There's like one, I think, like halfway through. And then I think like the final episode does more of it. But like, yes, it is very much a character driven show versus like a car combat. So it does seem like they're teasing that being a bigger part of the second.
Like the end of the first season is like, oh, Calypso is putting together a tournament, and John Doe, Anthony Mackie's character, is going to be the driver for New San Francisco.
We need to demonstrate the issue, the interest, so that they'll give us the budget to do the car combat that we want to have in the show.
Yeah, I mean, that could be it. Evidently, it was watched fairly well, so we'll see. I don't know, I do think that, like, the car combat stuff is not the best part of that show, though. It's like, it's the more like comedic moments between the characters. The car combat stuff is fine at the end. It has that video game feel of like, you know, cars driving around in a big open space and shooting each other. It looks stupid. Like,
I mean, I have no problem with them not having as much of it as long as it's a good show. Like, you don't necessarily, like, you took your inspiration from the source material, but you don't need to, like, necessarily make that. Maybe that would be a shitty show no matter what you did.
Yeah. I agreed. I don't know if it's good, but it was enjoyable. Like, I want to see what happens next. I want to see what happens next.
Which is, like, 90% of decent TV.
Yeah. I didn't hate my time with it. I finished it on a KO, so that's a big win in my book. So,
and I ended up liking Halo more than any of you guys, but a lot of that was just like strange curiosity because I do want to see what happens next. But like, how are they like making this weird thing go? What's their next weird decision? Because this doesn't really feel like Halo. It has Master Chief, but it doesn't feel like Halo. As opposed to this, where it was like, I was interested in like seeing the next 30-minute adventure of John Doe and Quiet.
Yes, and I would also say, I think you make, I don't think you were making that point, but also being 30 minutes helped a lot because nothing overstayed its welcome.
Yep.
And I think the format, which was very much like, for the first 6 or 7 episodes, is like, here's a new location, here's a new crazy part of this world we're going to examine. And then you don't, and again, a lot of that stuff ties up near the end, but it's not like, oh, you stay in any one location long enough to kind of wherever it's welcome. It's like, oh, this is interesting. I'd like to see more of this maybe in the future. And then they'll come back to some of it. And then some of it, it's like, oh, okay, that was good. I'm satiated.
Yeah. Cause I watched, like, I would watch one, maybe 2 episodes at a time. Doze off, wake up, maybe watch something else, then come back and watch a couple more episodes. So I finished it in like two or three days, but yeah, if you have Peacock, it's a solid recommend. I would say it's fun. I'm gonna skip some of the other stuff since we're running a little long, but I picked up Smurfs Kart.
Yeah.
On Xbox. It came out Tuesday. That's a bad game.
Oh, I don't know. I was expecting.
Visually, it's appealing. Like, it looks like Smurfs. Nothing else feels like Smurfs, though. Like, the music isn't Smurfy.
Yeah.
The tracks are like they're decently designed, but it's not like something iconic that you would think of from Smurfs. Except maybe the final cup, which is the Gargamel Cup. You like drive through Gargamel's castle lair.
That shows really weird when you put it that way. I did not like he does have an Akasu, but he's kind of poor.
Yeah, it's a rundown castle.
Because I mean, that's part of the Christmas thing. Is like he kidnaps those kids. Well, he doesn't kidnap them, but he tries to return them for reward money.
I mean, the whole show is weird. The concept of the Smurfs is very weird. There's another girl Smurf, who I didn't know existed.
There's two of them. Smurfette's not the only one. There's another one.
So yeah, she is in this. I'm drawing a blank on her name.
Yeah, her name is gone from my brain, but her face is in there.
Papa Smurf is here, but then it's like it's weird because it's Papa Smurf, Smurfette. Everybody knows them. What are some other Smurfs that you guys like come immediately to your mind when you think of Smurfs?
So you said Papa Smurfette, Baby Smurf. There's a Vanity Smurf, right?
There's Vanity Smurf. Yep.
Is there no, I was gonna say Grumpy, but that's a dwarf.
That's a dwarf.
Crap. I'm trying to think of, I mean, that's probably all I got, but
Tony is there is a lazy Smurf, yes.
Yes.
Brainy.
So that is the one that like I associate as like the like outside of Papa Smurf and Smurfette, Brainy Smurf is like the number three. Brainy Smurf is featured on the cover of this somewhere on the back, like as like the cartoon vert. You cannot drive as Brainy Smurf. In fact, drive as any of the Smurfs that are all just named. It's a bunch of other Smurfs. I don't know who the hell they are.
Yeah, you're just like generic Roger Smurf. You're like, who the fuck is Roger Smurf? And why do I care?
Farmer Smurf, and it's like, yeah. Let me bring up the because they all have achievements associated.
You're like, why am I Barbarian Smurf? There's no Barbarian Smurf. I don't understand what's happening here.
Hefty Smurf.
Okay, Hefty's real.
Okay, so that's one maybe I just didn't remember.
Yeah.
Farmer Smurf.
I don't remember Farmer Smurf.
I do not know.
Smurf Blossom, Clumsy Smurf. That sounds like
I remember Clumsy.
I know Clumsy. I do not know Blossom Smurf.
Clockwork Smurf, who I will say has a decent design. Like he's like a robot Smurf.
Sounds like a Batman villain.
Yeah. Handy Smurf, which I do believe was in the show.
I remember Handy.
Chef Smurf, which I'm sure that was one, but
I would be Chef Smurf.
And Jokey Smurf, which maybe it's a horrible name, but those are the Astro Smurf. He's a astronaut Smurf. That is another one, and that's it.
Sounds out of this world. Sounds great.
Those are your Smurfs you can play as. But yeah, I was thinking like Vanity is one that like it came up in like the original cartoon show a lot. Brainy is definitely one, and I think Brainy is featured in those two movies. that the two live action.
Oh crap! They did live action movies, didn't they?
Yeah, like well, it was like animation in the Gorilla. So yeah, but I think like Brainy was in that too. It was just very weird that like you can't play as Brainy Smurf. And I don't know most of these Smurfs. Like they're not Smurfs that were featured in the TV show.
Looking at the Wikipedia, it does seem like this. I guess there was a show recently. A 2021 cartoon, I should say. Because, let's see. So Smurf, Red and Papa Smurf's in it. Chumsy Smurf. Brainy, which doesn't make any sense. But looking at some of these that are just kind of like either the movie and like Chef Smurf is in the comic movie one and then 2021. Apparently Chef Smurf and Greedy Smurf were one character in the original show. Vanity Smurf is in the 2001 cartoon. Handy Smurf. Scaredy Smurf? Tracker Smurf? No.
Scaredy Smurf. Scaredy Smurf is, I remember Scaredy Smurf.
Doppy Smurf? What are these names? Or maybe I'm just corrupted by the internet in 2023.
Well, you're also trying to remember things from when you were like,
oh, no, I'm looking at the Wikipedia.
So,
like, evidently, it's a Nickelodeon series now. So there are multiple girl Smurfs now, which is that's good. I'm glad that they added more than right? just Smurfette.
That was stupid. Why were there no female Smurfs? It made no sense.
And then there were the babies. So,
yeah, there is Storm Smurf. There is Blossom Smurf, who's in the game, Willow Smurf, and Lily Smurf, which is a ton more than they had originally. So, I don't know why games do this, and I've had it happen to a couple of more recent kart racers where they automatically put auto steer and auto accelerate on.
Oh God, that's the Mario Kart thing, isn't it?
I
think Mario Kart is the one that's responsible for people putting that on by default.
I thought the game was broken. Yeah, it's like, why can't I control? Like, I'm trying to drive over here and it's pulling me the other way. And I finally went into the settings and it was like, oh, you have auto accelerate and auto steer on. I'm like, basically, I'm not playing at that point. Like,
yeah, because we played Mario Kart 8 when I was in Connecticut, and it just defaults to that if you're a guest account. And we were like, what is going on? My friends like trying to take shortcut in the games, like literally fighting you not to do that. And it's like, right, because the game wants you on the course, and it's so weird that that's on by default. It feels like something that you should opt into always.
Yeah, or I mean, I think EA sports games are really good at this. Like before the game starts, like they put you in, they kind of go give you like a questionnaire, and it's like, you know, have you played before? How would you like your settings? And then they kind of run you through like a test match or a test game of Madden. I think like kart racers could learn to do something like that. Like, have you played a kart racer before? If so, then they put everything to manual and like you can adjust it yourself later. And if you haven't, then maybe you put that stuff on for them by default. But give people an option to start with, like, playing that first. I raced through the entire first race and it was like, this feels broken. it's not fun that way, but also the game isn't really fun either.
In any way.
Now, like, the powers aren't like, I don't know, maybe it's like my relation to the Smurfs is old. Like, it was a cartoon I watched on Saturday mornings growing up, which I am 35 years past that time now. So, but I don't know, like, any, like, I don't have any affinity for any of the power-ups they pick up. Like, they seem just random, like, outside of the Smurf berries, which are real things that the Smurf would go collect.
I was going to say, as long as the Smurf first, that's all I know from the show about like, anything they have.
Yeah.
And maybe like something that Gargamel created.
Right. And I would have thought that you would have had more Gargamel and Azrael featured in it, but they're really only in like two tracks. Out of the 12. It's like, so it's, you're just going through, like, they're nice looking tracks, but it's like waterfalls and the forest and grasslands. It's just not anything that's like, oh, this is neat. Like, you know, you play the Nickelodeon kart racer and you go through like the Hey Arnold school or whatever. You go through like the Rugrats area. Like, you know the places you're driving in based on the show. Like, you drive through the sewers, and that's where the turtles are from. In this, it's like, this is just generic fantasy land, which I guess the Smurfs always kind of were. See, but, like, you don't even see, like, the, you know, they live in little mushroom houses. Like, there's none of that. You're not driving through Smurfville or anything. It's just...
I was going to say, it's also weird, and maybe it's just how the license worked out. It's weird that it's just a single-year property, because, like, to your point, I don't think of the Smurfs in, like, having that much of, like, even the characters, like, they would all look the same. Like, what, different hats, maybe?
So, Smurfette has blonde hair.
Yes.
Papa Smurf is red. Old. And everybody, he's old, he has a beard, but he also has, like, he has the red hat and red pants.
Right.
And classic Smurfs are, they all wear white hats with white pants. And then, like, they have, like, different defining features on them. So, like, Brainy Smurf has glasses. Vanity Smurf carries the mirror.
Hefty has a little tattoo.
Yeah. Like that. Evidently there is also a grouchy Smurf. And he
That's
looks,
you, Chris. You
he looks sour. Yeah. About this game. Yes. and there's a baby Smurf and, like, clearly a baby, but yeah, that's their defining character, is like, they have like something on them that distinguishes who they are, but Smurfs all just kind of look
the same.
They all wear the same uniform. It's a weird game. It is a budget game though, so at least there's that. But it's not a good kart racer. Real quick, another new game I picked up, Quantum Recharged, which is part of the Atari Recharged games. I don't have any history with the arcade game Quantum. You would, conceptually, it's like, it's very easy. You draw shapes, creates a wormhole, and the enemies fly into that hole, right? Like, they come in contact with it, they fly into it. It holds that form for a little bit, and you have to keep kind of forming shapes to pull them in. And you can't be too spread out, because you need to connect it before your line disappears. That's like the original arcade game. Quantum Recharge is very much similar to that, just looks better. It's just not as much fun as like the other Atari Recharge games. Which is a shame, but I do think maybe now we may be scraping the, I think there's 9 of these games now, 9 or 10 Recharge games. At this point, we might be scraping the bottom of the barrel. You know, because we've done Centipede, we've done Asteroids, Yars, Missile Command. Like, the big games have been done. Now we're doing some...
We're just doing what we can.
Yeah, like, maybe, like, this game was released by Atari, but it clearly probably wasn't a hit. And maybe it's time to, shelve the Recharge series. But in general, that series is pretty good. I will hold Valhalla, which I played a little bit of, and Ravenlock, which is a Game Pass game. I'll hold them for next week. So we got a real brief, but we got some news to cover. PlayStation announced its what was it? Project Q was what it was originally called.
And we now learned the Q stands for question, as in, who is this for?
Yes, the PlayStation Portal has been announced at $200. It is... I'm still, like, trying to describe it doesn't even make any sense. It's just such a weird device.
It is the Wii U controller. If you just bought the Wii U controller and nothing else. I will say up front, I always try to be cognitive because I think we tend to be more Xbox and Nintendo gamers here. So I always make fun of Sony. But, like, I think the entire collective response to this announcement was, what is the market here? Who is this for? Like, to kind of understand the demographic of who you need to be to actually use the system, it's somebody who has a PlayStation 5,
yep,
who really wants to play the PlayStation 5 with their TVs taken, but their game is installed and in the system, and they want to spend $200 so they can play it in their house in, like, the bathroom. On top of buying a, what, $600 system as it is?
$500.
So you're buying a $500 system, and then you're going to buy a $200 accessory to be able to play this off your TV in your house.
Yep, that sounds about right. Oh, and those Bluetooth headphones you have, maybe even bought one for your PlayStation 5, the Pulse headset. I believe it was the Pulse. Maybe the Pulse is the new one. Anyway, there was that fancy headset that you could get back when the PS5 launched that was Bluetooth, had some cool audio. That doesn't work with this because there's no Bluetooth with it. They've installed a whole new audio delivery system, lossless audio, low latency technology into this called PlayStation Link. And so if you want wireless headphones, you're going to need to spend $200 on that as well.
And you know what else you can't do? If you happen to be subscribed to PlayStation Premium, you can't play those games on this thing.
Oh, great.
It does not do any of your streaming games. So, yeah, so like, it's like, if you, again, you have to have the game installed on your system, so it's not even like, I own the game, I want to, like, oh man, I'm in the mood for Slay the Spire, let me just, like, grab this and play. No, it's like, is Slay the Spire installed on my PlayStation 5? Okay, is this controller, this device charged up, and do I just want to go sit in my living room and set it in front of my TV? The answer? Maybe. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think we're all Switch owners. I get the appeal of, like, wanting to take your device away from the TV or...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. That's not a problem. The problem is, like, the setup here makes, again, kind of what happened with the Wii U. It's like, it's a great idea, except you can only be, like, 20 feet away from your system. And at that point, you're not a handheld.
No.
You're not really portable. You can't go anywhere. It's not like, it would be one thing if it's like, oh, I could take this to work and I can connect to my PlayStation 5 at home, which is what you can do with your phone, your tablet, or your PC with remote play. This has none of those benefits.
No, this has to be used in your house. Like, as you said, it is the Wii U tablet. It's just at the cost of a Wii U.
Yeah. It also connects via Wi-Fi, right?
Yep.
A lot of people are just like, who's this for? Because it's like one of those things where it's like, sometimes you see something that's like, okay, this isn't for me, but I understand the market for it. Like, this is a hyper niche. Like, this is very much like, I have money to beyond technology type of device.
Great. There are 12 people that this will satisfy. Good luck to them.
I mean, yeah. I'm happy for them, but like, yeah, it is like, who is this for? And I'm just like, and this isn't us. I mean, as far as I could tell, this is like the reaction across the internet. And this is not like, again, you know, like the Wii. You go, you know, people go back to like the Wii. Everybody kind of had the reactions to that. But you can kind of see the novelty of that. This, I don't, like, it's not even like, I mean, again, it's whatever. But like, you know, like people complain about the Switch. This is an LCD screen, not even OLED. The battery life is, what, 3-4 hours? Like you can't use it's all these things where it's like I don't even know if you can do online because it uses the Wi-Fi to connect to your system. I assume you can do online that way, but then you're just kind of splitting the Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah,
and then like, and I get the logic behind not doing not allowing people to. You know, like play, because then if you could play your streaming games, you would just buy this and not buy a PlayStation. Again, I don't know how many people, what's the market that's like, yeah, I'm going to get this and not have to worry about like buying a PlayStation 5. But like, okay, I can see the logic. And I'm.
If you were like, this is a $200 device and it plays PlayStation games, but you have to stream them. I could see a use case for that where somebody was like, all right, like, you know, it's, I mean, there were, what was Stadia, right? Like people bought into Stadia. PlayStation's not going anywhere. So like, it's not even a gamble on that front. Like if, as long as they keep their streaming stuff up, I could see somebody buying it and being like, all right, like I don't want to spend $500 on a PlayStation 5, but $200 for like, a portable streaming device, if you could use it somewhere that isn't just your house, like anywhere that has Wi-Fi, I could see a use case for that, but yeah. That's not what this is.
Yeah. It, I mean, again, like, you know, Switch exists, Steam Deck exists, like those make sense. It's like, okay, like I can take something that I use at home and bring it elsewhere, I can take it to the airport or whatever. No problem. That makes sense. This is not that. No. This is
the Wii U problem over again.
Yeah.
It's the Wii U problem, but times double the price.
Well, no. You mean with everything.
Well, because like, you need a PlayStation 5 to have it.
Yes.
To utilize this. So it's $700 just to get the device to be operational.
And I know this is not their problem because I assume this is part of their marketing spiel in their heads. I'm so just like not looking forward to like the grandparents or the parents who buy this for their kids thinking like, oh, this is a PlayStation 5. My kid can play. It's much cheaper than a $500 system and it plays all their games and realizing like, oh no, they will still need, those games to be able to. They will send the $500 system or the $400 system to be able to use this, and now I just wasted my money.
Yeah, there's going to be some angry people that did not, like they pick it up off the shelf at Walmart, and the Walmart or Best Buy employee doesn't really explain it to them because why would they? They're going to be some sad children.
Yeah,
sad owners on Christmas Day when they get this, like, well, this is, it looks cool, can't use it for anything.
Yeah,
And then let's see, Activision and Microsoft merger. We got an update on that this week. Microsoft is selling off the Activision streaming, cloud streaming rights to Ubisoft.
In the UK,
in
right?
The UK, yes.
Yes.
Because they've already made deals elsewhere in the world to other entities to cover that. So in the EU, like Boosteroid and NVIDIA, they'll still have to make that deal. But in the UK, Ubisoft will hold the very specific cloud streaming gaming rights to Activision titles. They will pay Microsoft an upfront fee to get the rights to it, and they will then have that the right to it in perpetuity, paying Microsoft on a per usage basis for the having the games on their service. It gets so convoluted.
It's so stupid, and all it's done is have other companies make Microsoft even more money for a service that who knows if they were able to leverage it properly.
Right. Like it is a niche field anyway. Cloud streaming at this point.
Not just cloud streaming, but cloud streaming of online multiplayer games, which has always been the sticking point because of latency.
Yeah. Like I don't want to play Call of Duty on cloud streaming because if my connection drops, I'm gonna die. Like, so I would prefer to play it on, at worst on a Wi-Fi, but like where it's running off my machine.
Like, you don't want to be like you walk around a corner in a cloud streaming game, like you're like a tenth of a second behind.
Yeah,
you're gonna die. Every time, in every one of those like face-to-face encounters, you die every single time. And that's a really, really hard problem to get around. And it may be unsolvable.
It's going to be one of those ones. Like we saw this, playing Call of Duty or Battlefield or something, where like you just have a mediocre connection. You're playing on a bad server. And you're running up and you haven't turned the corner yet, but on the other person's screen, you have crossed, like you've gone past the wall and they kill you. And you're on your screen, it looks like you've been shot through a wall.
Yes.
But when they show the kill cam, like you are out in the open. It's like that didn't happen, but it's just because your latency was worse. That's going to happen all the time.
This is my only advantage over all those 20-year-olds these days. Is like I see first. I know I will.
Yeah. So anyway, the CMA was like, "Oh, with this new news, we have to reopen an investigation," and they have now declared mid-October as the time for them to have a decision. It's actually the, I believe, the second deadline day, where the walk away threshold for Microsoft increases yet again.
We're going to call this their face saving day. That's the day that they, oh, we've reconsidered. You've given us this additional information. Now we can okay the deal like every other country on Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, that really is what it is, right? They like we can't make it look like, oh, we're making this hasty decision and backtracking because the FTC isn't going to deny you now. Please give us some concession. It's this weird, convoluted Ubisoft, Activision, Microsoft deal, and we're gonna wait 6 weeks to make a call on it. The other thing is, I guess Phil Spencer was interviewed this week, and he kind of wanted to stress the game. Once this deal is complete, he's confident it will be complete. Activision games, specifically Call of Duty, won't just appear on Game Pass as soon as like they sign the deal. It's going to take some time for those games to make it to the service.
They have to go through the contracts with Sony and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If anything, I think Sony's done themselves a disservice because the longer this has the best time their contract's going to expire and they don't have time to renegotiate that. So
yeah. So this, the game this year is the last game officially under their marketing agreement. And their marketing agreement doesn't allow for, I guess, streaming or whatever game services at this point. So, but they stalled it so long that by the time it does get approved, Microsoft will have free and clear rights to Call of Duty. I don't know. They're, you know, gamers online are weird and like, oh, as soon as this happens, like we're getting all the Activision stuff immediately. Like, this is not how any of this works. Like, even when Bethesda signed it, like stuff didn't show up day one. Like it was like a month or two later that we got the first batch, and then early the year after we started getting the rest of it. It's going to take some time. Like, there's a lot of legal paperwork that has to be reviewed to see what Microsoft can put on Game Pass. You know, what they're just what legally they can do with the property that they are buying immediately. Like, it's just going to take some time. People can need to calm down a little bit. But gamers don't know how to calm down, so. Walt dropped this in for us. I guess there was some news on Starfield. Let me see what this says here. Did not bring me to the tweet. Here we go. So evidently, according to Pete Hines from Bethesda, the game doesn't really start until after the main quest. We'll see how accurate that is. That seems to me like PR game speak. He describes how he got sucked in the vacuum of space after jumping to an enemy ship and the pilot taking off. That sounds cool. Like, you're like on your ship trying to jump to another ship to hijack it.
That'll be fun.
And if that pilot takes off, that's neat. Modders will be able to create their own planets. New Game Plus relates directly to the main story, so we couldn't really talk about it. He does state it's different from most New Game Plus mechanics and is rather special. Again, that sounds game speaky.
Yeah.
Said he felt like Iron Man at one stage due to the diversity of weapon mods and being combined with skills. That would indicate a deeper level of combat than anything that's been in a Bethesda game before. Museum of New Atlantis explains some lore of the game. I don't know if that's an in-game thing or an online thing. Enormous amount of creatures. He doesn't know how many. Says after 150 hours, he isn't even close to 100%ing the game. It's fine.
Not,
I mean,
not surprising given some of the things they've said about how large it is.
And Fallout and you know, the Elder Scrolls, those games are massive. Like, playing through the main quest is normally a 30 or so hour completion. And there's all those minor side quests, faction quests. I think Skyrim, like, continuously had, what, Radiant quests that you could do?
Yep.
So there's always going to be content. Lots of mod support post-launch. Mission boards can ask you to build outposts on planets. Lots of Easter eggs. There's no level cap that he knows of.
That's
we'll see.
Weird.
Very weird.
I am God. Let me destroy everything instantly with a touch of my finger.
Or, I mean, I guess it depends on how their progression system works. Like, maybe there is no level cap.
Right. Maybe there's no levels, literally.
Yeah. And people on PC who have played the game early have said performance is smooth. We'll see. The game is out in a little less than 2 weeks, so.
Yeah.
Excited for it.
It's timed perfectly. I come back from a trip on the 4th.
Nice.
And it comes up the 5th.
Earl, you are not not looking forward to this one.
I'm not looking forward to it. I will check it out again on Game Pass. I've not played any of these really, so I'm kind of curious to see if it appeals to me. I've never played Skyrim.
What?
Or
what?
Do we not know?
Have you never played Fallout either, 3 or 4?
Oh no. Or
they are. It's an interesting. Bethesda has an interesting style of game.
I did try Outer World, Outer Rims.
Outer Worlds, the Obsidian one.
Yeah,
and that seemed funny enough.
That's Fallout ish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see how it goes. I think I would enjoy Skyrim. It was like one of those things where at the time I wasn't into it, and it's like at some point it just gets too late. You don't want to mention that you've.
Well, the problem is, the funny thing for me is like they keep re-releasing Skyrim. Like you could try it.
Yeah.
And you could try like a much better version of Skyrim than the one that Chris and I played.
Yeah. Like the whatever the last version it was, the 10-year anniversary version of it, I think, is the one that is currently out there. That is so much better.
Like I hop it, like every time one of these comes out, I'm like, I'm gonna try it again. I'm like, but I played all of this. Like it looks so great, but I have no interest in doing this because you like miss out. Like the cool thing about these games is like hopping into a world you've never experienced and just going out and finding shit that's really cool. And you can only do that once. You can never have that feeling of awe and whatever again. And you, personally, Earl, could still have that.
I could. But, I mean, Starfield's right around the corner, so we will we'll see how that goes. And on the note of Starfield, just because I am a oven, kind, and caring person, and not just because I enjoy making fun of Mr. Kiyoshi, we did have the GamesCon opening night live this week, and that was 2 hours of stuff that I don't think I think I told my friends, or maybe I told you folks this. It was it happened during work because it's in Cologne, Germany, so it happened. I think it's like 2 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah,
and I was like, I watched it. I'm like, I never felt that I should have just done work for 2 hours. I felt like I wasted my time not working. I mean, I was working, but like I was trying to watch this, and I'm like, it was like, I mean, I think one of the biggest announcements here was the fact that like they had the choice for Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon. Wow, it was that. I thought Summer Game Fest was terrible, but this took the cake. And I mean, to be fair, I guess Gary did tell us it was not to expect much. I just didn't expect him to finally deliver on something.
Oh God.
So.
Yeah, don't expect much, and he really, really, really meant it this time.
Yeah, he nailed it.
He tried to solve his women problem. Sort of, ish.
Did he have more than one?
He had like 10, but they were like cosplayers and like.
Well, I think there was some divide. He had a decent mixture because
but whenever he brought out a woman, he also brought out a man, which was interesting choice.
But he had a co-host who I wasn't pretty sure because I think she showed up like once or twice. And then, like, yeah, there were some studios that, but like, I'm happy he took that feedback to heart, and
he at least heard it. Did he fix? Does he know how to fix the problem? Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he should talk to some women about fixing the problem. Might be a better role than just bringing out a few women and hoping it goes away.
Get some women on his advisory board.
Yes, like bring out women who are. There are women who have like major roles at these companies who could probably speak on stage without having a man standing there, without having him standing there. Who knows?
Not Jeff Keighley. He doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
I think that's it for news.
think that is everything for this week, and we have gone a little bit long, so we'll be back next week. I will have Sea of Stars. That comes out on the 30th, I believe, or the 29th. One of those 2 days. That is the follow-up to The Messenger. Kind of Chrono Trigger-ish, the RPG this time around. So I'm very excited for that one. Jeff will hopefully return from his heat wave. And he'll give us his thoughts on Texas Chainsaw. We may all play together as well, so we might have communal thoughts on it. And I'm sure that there will be...
Oh, well, no. Not big news, but kind of big news.
Okay.
Frost Matinee retired as Mario this week.
That is true. Forgot about that on my how, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to think about the dude who's been doing the voice for almost 30 years. I mean, the positive, I mean...
Wait, didn't he start with Mario 64? Wasn't that his first one?
Yeah, which is almost 30 years ago.
Oh my god, has it really been that long?
It's 27 years now, I think, something like that.
96 was Mario 64, yeah. Right? Yeah.
What was I gonna say, though? I mean, things can always come out after the fact, but it does. Right now, it does seem like it was a mutual decision, because he's posted about it and stuff like that.
Well, he's like 67 too.
Yeah, I can. He's gonna still be the ambassador. My only thought was like maybe it's just like I can imagine that voice can kind of probably put a strain on you after, because it's very high pitched. It's not his native speaking voice, but like he's going into the role of like a Mario ambassador, whatever that means, and. This was speculated before during the Nintendo Direct in the summer. And, you know, people are crazy, so who knows. But people were noting that, like, oh, Mario sounded different. And a lot of people were like, oh, that's crazy. But, yes, it is confirmed that he will not be the voice in Mario Wonder and, I think, WarioWare this year.
Okay.
So I also imagine it might extend to Mario RPG. It didn't have sound clips, so who knows with the remake. So, like, yes, that, I mean, I was just like, oh, we should touch on that. Because, again, like, he's been a big part of all of our lives now for, I mean, more than half of most of our lives, I think, 27 years. I'm happy that he got to be part of the movie. And, yeah.
What did he do in the movie?
He was their uncle.
Okay.
He was one of the one that had like their very Italian son. And then I think at the, was he the uncle or the dad? He was one of the family members.
Okay.
Yes. I think.
Well, good.
I think as people pointed out, he's like, I think the last thing he said in the movie is like, these are my boys. Near the end after Mario, which you say it today. So maybe he is their father. Yes. So, and then, just to continue, I'll make you wrap up again, but fingers crossed they don't screw me over. I think Shredder's Revenge DLC is out next Thursday as well, so hopefully I will have that to discuss as well.
Yep, I mean, woo-hoo. I believe they did give the date of August 31st, so hopefully it will be there for you. It's not the nebulous summer 2022.
Yes. It is a date, so, but who knows, you know, these things can get delayed just to screw me over.
But, yeah, we will have all of that and more next week. Earl, say goodnight.
So, we shall wander off into the great unknown and wish you all a good night and a happy weekend.